Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, friends. Welcome to our fourth episode of The Last Full Measure. I'm Eric Johnson here with Ted Hayes, which people may not be aware of this, but Ted is also known as Mr. Patriot. Welcome, Ted, Mr. Patriot.
Hey,
how
Eric.
Are you?
Shalom, shalom, shalom in Jerusalem. And thank you for another broadcast. And yes, I am the character under the Mr. Patriot. Yes, absolutely. Great God, Patriot.
Now, you do that, you've got rollerblades, right? And you dress up Mr. Patriot and just zip around, sing and dance and do all sorts of stuff. Is that right?
No, not quite. I don't.
No,
I have not done Mr. Patriot on, haven't put him on skates yet. We're thinking about that. But right now, Mr. Patriot, he walks in parades, patriotic parades such as the 4th of July. We do that here in Santa Monica Parade, the Oceanside Parade down by San Diego. We've done the Pacific Palisades Parade a couple times. We do Memorial Day Parade in Canoga Park. We go to veterans hospitals here at the L.A. Veterans Administration. We go out to senior citizens' homes. We're looking to go to schools, and we want to eventually go to military bases at home and abroad, and hopefully Mr. Patriot will, because he sings the national anthem. Well, he makes a joyful noise about the national anthem, put it that way, not about singing. He makes a noise, and he wants the American people to learn to sing patriotic songs. He conducts sing-alongs, and he believes that if we sing more about our country, we'll feel a lot stronger in our country. And hopefully one day Mr. Patriot will perform at a Super Bowl. So, you know,
wow.
there's a lot to talk about more in the future. But, yeah, Mr. Patriot. He's been around since 2003, actually.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, 15 years he's been in existence, yes. Uh-huh. You know, we say he's the – he used to be called the Uncle Sam's nephew or the nephew of Uncle Sam. And we've wanted to just, you know, have him be a living symbol. I don't think we have living – human symbols. We have the eagle, you know, as our living animal symbol, but we don't have a human being as a living symbol. And I thought, you know, here we have this poster of a man that does not even exist, a dead inanimate poster. So why not make a living person? And maybe the day that the Lord calls me on to heaven, there'll be a new Mr. Patriot, and we'll continue the living tradition. Bob Rosebrock, a veteran friend of mine, we are working on developing a proposal to give to the president to create within the cabinet a department of patriotism. That would be the sole mission of that department, to really inspire our country from preschool right up through till the end of their life to love our country. And if you find something critical wrong about our country, then fix it. If you can't fix it, keep your mouth shut.
Good point. Very good point. Very good
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely. Thank God for that.
Yes. Our show has been getting email. People have been emailing questions. Yeah, we got a few questions. It's been kind of fun to watch. Our numbers are slowly growing. Yes, we're new. We're starting out. But we have an audience, which is pretty exciting. And I received a question asking, because, you know, we're always saying, you know, shalom and shalom in Jerusalem, and we have a heart for Israel. I've been asked, am I a Jew? So to answer that question, no, I'm not a Jew. I'm not born a Jew. But, Ted, you've always said that I am a Jew. Explain what you mean by the fact that, yes, I am a Jew in a different aspect.
You know, Jesus, Yeshua, Yahusha, the son of Ben-Yua, that's God. He is a Jew, king of the Jews. Remember that. Jesus was not a Christian. He's a Jew. Keep forgetting that.
A lot of people forget that he's a Jew.
Yeah. Somehow he, and that's why it has really troubled me that believers in Jesus over the last 1,800 years have murdered Jews simply because they refuse to see him as HaMashiach, the Messiah. And that is totally wrong. And I personally believe that Heavenly Father is demanding of all Christians worldwide, universally, to one day before he returns to this earth to publicly acknowledge and apologize, take responsibility for what we have done to his chosen people in his name. So, yeah, you know, but again, Jesus, Yeshua, makes me a Jew. Remember, he said to the rabbis at that time, he says, look, you know, God can make Jews, Abraham's children, out of these stones. And I'm a stone. I'm a Goyim. I'm a Gentile. And when I've learned of who Yeshua, Jesus, is, and I've looked in the scriptures, I found in Ephesians chapter 2, towards the end here, if you don't mind, I'm going to read this. It says, But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's us Goyim, us Gentiles. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and hath abolished in his flesh the enmity between the law, the commandments, constraining the ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. Then he says, but through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Therefore, now you are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We have been grafted into that branch, into that plant, and we are now partakers of the same juices of the roots that feeds the children of Israel. We're getting the same juice, as it were. You see, so I am a Jew. I am born again into Judaism, into the kingdom of God, into the household, the commonwealth of Israel. And folks, ever since I have been claiming, call me a Christian if you want to, that's fine. I don't go by that publicly anymore. And since I've been saying, first I said it privately to God, then I would go to the synagogue and pray in the chapel privately and confess that with my mouth. Then I begin to confess it to my friends and family. And then I confessed it one time on the radio, on Radio KGLH, which is Stevie Wonder's radio station. And I've been confessing, and ever since I've been confessing that and professing that, my life has taken up some very incredible upswings.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, that's just my experience. Now, I can't speak for other people. But, you know, I believe if you believe in Yeshua, and you've been born again, you are in the household of Israel. You are a Jew. You are an Israelite. You are a Hebrew, regardless of your skin color or your nationality or your blood mix. Remember that now. It's not by our blood that makes us a Jew. It's by our faith in him that makes us Jew.
Yes, it is. And people are wondering, well, what is it? What is all that's required to be saved? And then that was answered I want to say Paul. It could be incorrect, maybe Peter. It says back that, you know, if you believe that Christ died on the cross, he was buried and rose again, you shall be saved. That's it. That's the gospel right there.
Well, let's take another step as well.
Yeah.
Let's take another step where Jesus said, when the young Jewish man came to him and he said, Lord, what are the greatest commandments? He said, to love your neighbor, to love God, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two hang all the commandments of God's word. And if we love God and our neighbor as ourself, even if you don't yet know the name Jesus, the Lord knows your heart, as Paul says in Romans. Those who don't know the name or the word, the law, they will be judged as such from their hearts, because within all human beings, it's just a matter of acknowledging it or living it. It's very simple. And you know, Hashia, Heavenly Father, often talks in the scriptures to the Hebrew people who thought that their salvation was in their outward appearance, their worship, the way they dress, the solemn assemblies. He said, no, get that away from me. He says, this people worship me with their mouths, their outward appearances, but their heart is far from me. And I've told my Jewish friends and brothers and sistersjust because we wear yarmulkes or have peleses, you know, the long sideburns and hair, you know, curly down, or we wear tzitzis, the four strings on the clothes and our dress, the foods we eat. This is all customs. It has nothing to do with eternal salvation. These are customs. If you want to practice the customs, feel free. And if you look into the Jewish community, you'll find many different kinds of Jewish people practicing all kinds of customs. But which one makes them a Jew? No, it is your walk makes you a Jew.
That's right. It's your heart. It's where your heart is.
Absolutely.
Wow. Exciting. So, folks, the last Full Measure, our show, Ted and I have been just having so much fun with this and seeing where it's going. Today, we wanted to discuss the Gettysburg Address by Abraham Lincoln. And, Ted, you and I have talked a lot about it. There is so much in this short two-minute speech. If I could, I know you're going to read it here, but I want to make a comment before you read it from Edward Everett. He was the chief speaker at the Gettysburg Cemetery dedication. And after Abraham Lincoln had done his address, the very next day he had sent a letter to Abraham Lincoln that stated, "I should be glad if I could flatter myself that I came as near to the central idea of the occasion in 2 hours as you did in 2 minutes." It's like, that's a very powerful statement that Abraham Lincoln said in 2 minutes with such brevity and such power. Ted, you wanted to read this and kind of break it down for us.
Sure, absolutely. Lincoln says this: 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived, so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives, that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we do this, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
There is so much in that.
Oh, absolutely. There. We can go through each one of those sentences, each one of those themes or statements, and we can do a whole broadcast on them alone. Here, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, is the heart of what our nation is about. This is our heart, our soul, our mind. This is the way we should be thinking. And we should realize that the work that America and what we believe is a proposition. It's not settled yet. We are still thinking whether a nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to such a proposition, all human beings created equal, that is yet to be resolved. And you know what, folks? If we do not finish the business of Lincoln and the 740,000 innocent young boys who died and those also who suffered through wounds and lived and all that, if we don't finish that work, guess what? The United States, the Union Republic, shall perish from the earth. And I'm very concerned about that, folks. I'm very concerned. I think we only have a matter of years before this will be solved, resolved.
It's interesting to see where we're coming in today's society regarding our past. And you look at what those 740,000 did with that last full measure, and Lincoln nailed it on the head with his address.
Two and a half minutes. You know, folks, Eric, and this is why we are in the maddening state and spiral downward that we are in. This is why people can come to our country legally or illegally and then tell us Americans, especially you white folks there, what America is or isn't. Listen to them and say, you know, this is or is not American. You, what you're saying is to not allow us to worship 5 days, five times a day on our loudspeakers. That's un-American. You're not allowing us our freedom of speech. To stop immigrants from coming across the border is un-American. What are you talking about? And you know why we break? Because we Americans don't know our own hearts. Therefore, we don't know our own minds. And if we don't know who we are, guess what? Other people will define us. And that's exactly what's been going on. And when I see my white brothers and sisters taking on all this so-called white guilt that's being spewed upon you, and you drop your heads and you acquiesce to all these people telling you how you should run your country that you have built and died for, it just tells me that you guys, you better snap out of it, man. Realize it. Stop being belittled because you're white. All this anti-white talk and white man talk. Hey, you know what? They're jealous, folks, because their black, brown, red, yellow men were not able to do in their country what your white men and women have done in this country. Otherwise, why would they be coming here? If you're racist, why are they coming here? If you're Nazis, why are they coming here? I don't remember my Jewish brothers and sisters in Europe trying to get into Nazi Germany. They were trying to get the freak out of there as fast as they could.
Yes, that's right.
Come on, people. Think about it.
Pack up and go. Get the heck out of Dodge. Don't mess around. And so,
you know,
so here the world is, yes. The world is saying that you guys are just losers. And like, no, we're not. Everybody's trying to get here. If we're
exactly.
such losers, why are they coming? Why are they coming?
Exactly. And why do they come? And that's why, folks, you got to get to the place to be able to hold your head high, get your chin off your chest, hold your head high, shoulder back, and say to them, either you will comply with the laws and the customs of our United States of America Republic, or you are certainly welcome and free to leave. There's no wall holding you in. This is not East Berlin. This is not Russia.
That's
this is
right.
not North. This is not China. It's not Iran. But you can go. Go.
Yeah, go find another place. Either. Make it the way you want. We've got our culture. We've got our ways. I'm sorry, this is us. We bled and died for it.
Exactly.
Yeah, what were you,
so,
you were telling me
we
about?
We owe it to those 740,000 young, innocent, white, W-H-I-T-E, Caucasian boys and men. Of course, it was 38,000 black boys and men who also died with them. But it was overwhelmingly, ladies and gentlemen, your white boys who made that sacrifice that nation, our nation, might live. And you owe it to them. They're waiting on you right now. They're waiting on you right now to determine whether their sacrifice, their deaths are in vain or whether it was worth it for them to die. And you got to remember something, God being in the past as well as in the present and future, he's back there right now in 1860, in the mid-1860s, looking at young white boys standing 15, 20 yards from each other, firing musket balls into each other. Okay? You owe it to these boys, man. I don't know if you guys have been watching Brian Kilmeade's report on the Civil War. My gosh, folks, what them boys and men went through out there for you and me, we owe it to them. We don't live for ourselves anymore. We owe it to them.
Let's,
and in owing it to them, we protect our future for our children.
let's break the address down, if we can. Kind of go take it. You know, we've got three paragraphs of it. I don't know if we're going to be able to get it up. Maybe we can do another show off it. But let's go on the first sentence there. Break that out for us. 67 years ago, our forefathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
What that's, from what I can gather from that, folks, it was 70 years prior to the date that Mr. Lincoln gave that speech, which was November 19, 1863. From what I can gather from that, folks, he said, and he was correct, a new nation. If you recall, you ever hear the word, you look on the dollar bill, it talks about the new order of the ages. This is what they're talking about, the new order of the ages, meaning that prior to the United States, humanity was ruled by monarchs, tribal chiefs, warlords. People did not have any say in their government. They were not considered equal. In fact, if you look at India today, though they boast themselves of democracy, they have a caste system where people are not equal. They're not born equal in India. They're born on a caste line. United States is saying to the world, there's never been a nation like this one where it is conceived in the idea that we're going to have liberty and that we are going to support the idea that every human being, regardless of their color or race or ethnicity, are created by God equally. And that's spelled out in the Declaration of Independence. It's spelled out right there. It tells you that God has created, that endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that all men are created equal. So that's what Lincoln's talking about here, folks. And that's what we need to be looking at. We are a whole new order of all ages since the world has begun. But King George said of England, whom the founding fathers were fighting in 1776, King George was saying, wait a minute. What you guys are proposing is an impossibility. It is an aberration. Because humanity tells us that people are not willing to govern themselves. They'd rather be governed by someone else. They don't want to make decisions. But the founding father said, well, King George, that might be true, but we're going to try something new. We're going to test something else here. We think it could be done differently. So George said, okay, have at it. But I'm in the mood now, though, Eric, the way things are looking, unless something turns around here, old King George might get vindicated here.
We don't want that to happen. That's why part of the show is reminding us of our past, where we came from. What are our
principles?
I
like what you said, Eric. We don't want that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a rhetorical question. What is the first statement of the Constitution of the United States created by our founding fathers? What is that first statement? Well, we call it the preamble. It says, we the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union. That's where Lincoln gets that statement from. Government of the people, by the people, for the people. You see, it's up to we to do that. Now, I've often asked a question, Eric and ladies and gentlemen, what was the founding fathers really thinking? I mean, they put us in a real trick bag here. They got us in a situation where most human beings do not want to govern. But yet, if we don't stand up and govern according to the Republican form of government, we are going to lose this country and the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy. It's kind of, man, it's like they walked off and left us with this situation in our hands.
Well, they gave it to the people rather than to a dictator. You know, it's up to you folks where you want to go with this. And you look at, there are people that are desperate to take this country and turn it into a dictatorship. I mean, you have this George Soros spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to destroy our country because he can't handle our Constitution.
He's supposed to be a Jewish person, you know, and I have to question. I really do, but that's where I pick up. We're kind of going back to the beginning of the broadcast. I pick up where Yeshua says in the book of Revelation, he says, yes, 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 I know those who say they're Jews, and they are not, but they are of the synagogue of Satan. And I think that Mr. Soros is bearing that kind of fruit.
Well, it's evident. I mean, you've got, what country? I want to say it's Hungary? No. There's a country in Europe that is actually doing everything they can to shut him down.
That's great. Good for them. And I think what's going to happen, because people are praying to God, that perhaps he's going to raise up more and more people to resist this, to resist that darkness.
Yeah, he is not. He is not a man of the country. He's a man against his country.
Let's go back to the middle of our conversation where we were saying that if we do not know our heart, therefore we cannot know our mind. Hence, other people like Soros will tell us what is and is not American, and they will make vain the death of the boys in the Civil War, and they'll make vain the death of the boys of the War of 1776, and they will prove King George is right and the Founding Fathers was wrong. Why? Because we the people, don't know the true story of who we are. We don't know our own hearts, our own heads. So we can't blame the devil for being the devil, as it were. That's his job, okay? But it's us. Like Jesus said, he said, Satan cometh, but he has nothing in me. So when the foreigners come and tell us what is and isn't America, are they going to find something in us that they are right and we are wrong? We better check ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, while we can.
It's as if we don't know our own history. You look at, what is it, the NEA, what they have done to our school systems, what they have done to essentially dumb down the American population by not teaching us our history.
That is by design. That's why the proverb says, remove not the old landmarks, you know. Like when you see these people going out here tearing down Confederate statues and so forth and so on, what they're doing is they're erasing the foundation of our nation. Whether it's good or bad, they're erasing our foundation so that they can redefine us. Because we don't know who we are. As Civil War scholars teach us, they say, look, you guys, for as much as you say you love America, if you do not understand the era of the Civil War and what that is about and what it was, you cannot understand America. You just can't do it. It's impossible for you to understand America. As try as you might, you cannot do it. So, people, please, you know, pay attention to Brian Kilmeade. And every time you get a chance to see a documentary on the Civil War, or just on your own, just Google up the Civil War. Just start reading in there and feeling your heartbeat, you know, because you're there. This is all about you, folks. And especially, you know, and I'm going to, you know, my black brothers and sisters out there, come on, guys. This whole thing is around us. This whole thing is around us. Because if this that happened to us as being chattel slaves is not rectified, the nation is gone. So we have a role here to understand what Abraham Lincoln did and what them boys out there in Gettysburg did. And we, of all people, we need to embrace that. And I believe this, folks, the day that we black folks begin to embrace it, I think you're going to see a real major change in the American attitude and the world's attitude towards America. And I'm working towards that.
Yes. Well, folks, we're down to our last minute of the show, and I wanted to close with this real quickly, that in that first sentence of the Gettysburg Address, you will find a reference that all men are created equal. And Lincoln had taken that from our Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Folks, we're coming to the close of our show. What an exciting show. Ted, we've got to do another episode on this because there's so much here. So with that said, Ted, thank you for a great, great show. And for everybody, we want a big shout-out to Dark Sky. They've been very helpful to us. Please like us, friend us, share us with your friends, and We will see you the next time on The Last Full Measure with Ted and myself. Shalom in Jerusalem.
Shalom, shalom.